Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur Folge 113 im Cloud Computing Report Podcast. Mein heutiger Interviewgast ist Francesco Bonfilio, der neue CEO der GAIA-X-Dachorganisation GAIA-X-AISPL. Zum Einstieg bitte ich Francesco, sich in zwei, drei Sätzen vorzustellen.
My name is Francesco Bonfilio and I'm working from my home office in Milan, north of Italy. I just joined GAIA-X as the new CEO. Actually, I joined in March in my new role. And my professional background comes from the business. So I've been 30 years in the IT business, spanning across different sectors. I started actually as an electronic engineer, and this is what I am and what I've studied. And I started developing military systems in the aerospace and in the naval systems. And then I moved into Rational Software, which used to be one of the most known software engineering companies in the world that invented the software engineering methodologies. And then I moved to Unisys and HP and Avanade and different multinational companies. So I spent most of my life in international roles, though I never moved out of Italy, and in the application space, in the consulting space, in the infrastructure and cloud space, and in the digital transformation in my last career. And I've been executive in many companies. That's my technical background and professional background. I am 55 years old and I love technology, but as well music. I got three sons and I'm now living with my family, all working from home since more than 1 year, as many around Europe, unfortunately.
In dem März 2021 wurde Francesco zum neuen CEO der GAIA-X-AISPL, der Dachorganisation der GAIA-X-Initiative, berufen. Ich bitte nochmals kurz, die derzeitige organisatorische Struktur von GAIA-X sowie die Aufgaben zu erläutern, die die AISPL und er als CEO dabei übernehmen.
Sure. First of all, the AISPL stands for Association Internationale Sans But Lucratif. So it's a non-profit international association with location in Brussels. And it groups together more than 250 members, officially 234 now, but we are receiving new applications as we speak on a daily basis, that are both from the user side or the provider side of the technology. So we group together large enterprises, small, medium enterprises, and as well as startups and academic and research institution, around the common intent to develop a next generation cloud for Europe that incarnate the principles of transparency, trust, and sovereignty. So the organization is pretty standard. We have a board of directors. Mm-hmm. We have a management team, which I am the leader of. And we have several committees and working groups that are working in the several areas of definition of this GAIA-X project and architecture that I will explain more in detail later.
Als GAIA-X 2019 zum ersten Mal vom deutschen Wirtschaftsminister Peter Altmaier vorgestellt wurde, artikulierte dieser zwei Hauptziele: digitale Souveränität für europäische Cloud-Nutzer und Gegengewicht zu den Angeboten der internationalen Hyperscaler mit der Absicht, die Abhängigkeit von diesen Anbietern zu reduzieren. Wir sprechen zuerst über das erste Ziel, digitale Souveränität für europäische Cloud-Nutzer. Ich frage Francesco, ob dieses Ziel immer noch gilt und wie man es erreichen möchte.
Yes, data sovereignty or digital sovereignty is a very discussed concept. And so first of all, let me explain what we mean as sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Sovereignty is simply the possibility to decide by themselves, by ourselves, how we want our data to be used, by whom, where we want our data to be, and who can access them, in what way, and definitely become owner of our data, of our technology, of our information is the meaning of sovereignty. So it is necessary to become digital sovereign, to become digital independent. Mm-hmm. And Europe has been suffering of a dependence, of a strong dependence from non-European technologies and non-European providers. So we are aiming to develop a brand new technology and develop it together collaboratively with European and non-European partners that will enable this new level of transparency, sovereignty, and overall trust in the cloud services that have been one of the main roadblocks for cloud adoption in Europe. We believe this is one of the key goals, and data sovereignty is, let me say, a mean to enable a data economy. In other words, we need to open the doors to let the data flow freely and openly in the unique European market as well as any other good. And in order to do that, we need a new set of technologies that we are developing at GAIA-X.
Danach sprechen wir über das zweite Hauptziel, Gegengewicht zu den internationalen Hyperscalern. Es gibt Gerüchte über eine hitzige Diskussion zur Rolle dieser Unternehmen aus den USA, aber auch aus China bei GAIA-X. Ich frage Francesco, wie er deren derzeitige Rolle beschreibt.
The current role of non-European companies, so companies from US or from Asia, is exactly the same role as all other European companies around the working tables of GAIA-X. GAIA-X is an open association that has included all members to become part of the working activity. There is a limitation in the voting rights and in the possibility to become part of the board of director that is limited only to European company or companies that have the headquarter in Europe. But apart of that, the statutes of GAIA-X allow for any company from any member from any nationality to become part of the association. The discussions and the rumors that you are referring to are basically related to the wrong interpretation of digital sovereignty, like I said before. So we do not intend to build a digital sovereignty separating Europe with big walls from the rest of the world. This wouldn't make any sense. And in the very same way, we cannot isolate the GAIA-X project from the rest of the world and from the rest of the contributors that may participate to this project. Instead, we are building a completely different model of cloud that will not only enable the data economy in Europe, like I said, but will enable, I think, and I strongly believe, an economy at scale globally, because the model of cloud that GAIA-X is implementing is exactly what is needed by all the players all around the planet Earth. We have simply been suffering an hyper-concentration of offering and technology in a few players. And this hyper-concentration corresponds to a hyper-concentration of data and therefore a hyper-concentration of data economy or data value. So we are trying to rebalance this economy with equal opportunities, but not building walls or cutting out any single players, but actually building a completely new model of cloud that will be much more inclusive, that will enable new opportunities for everybody and every player in Europe and outside of Europe.
Da muss ich natürlich gleich nachhaken und frage Francesco, ob er nicht die Gefahr oder das Risiko sieht, dass die großen Hyperscaler ihre Marktdominanz auch bei GAIA-X ausnutzen.
No, there is no such a risk because GAIA-X cannot be dominated by anyone simply because in the statutes of GAIA-X, we are implementing, like I said before, principles of transparency, of trusted identity management, of interoperability, of reversibility. In such a way, anybody that will be using a GAIA-X cloud or a GAIA-X service will be guaranteed that they have full control on their data, on their service. They will be able to decide where the data stays or where the data can flow, where the service can run freely and openly. So there is no way to disrupt these principles because these are the foundation of the GAIA-X project. But of course, the ones that have invested most of their money into a very different technology, which is the hyperscale technology, because the hyperscale technology is a technology of full concentration of computing, storage, resources in a single place. So those that have invested heavily in that technology will have to take a choice at a point in time on whether they want to stay with that technology or move into a completely orthogonal model, a completely different model, which is federated, distributed, And this is what Gaia-X is building. So in other words, the gamble is not about Gaia-X versus hyperscalers. Mm-hmm. The gamble is where the data are going to be. Are going to be hyperscaled? Are going to be hyper-concentrated in a few single places around the world? Or are they going to be more and more distributed across geographies and in terms of storage, in terms of computing, in terms of artificial intelligence, networking, and cybersecurity? And if the answer is yes, this is the future, and this is actually the present, the only viable way is to develop a new generation of cloud that is distributed, federated, and based on interconnection of nodes that allow as well this transparency and visibility of the data flows that is not possible today. The reason why this is not possible, and this is an important thing to say, is that the economical model, the business model behind hyperscalers, is based on the ability to concentrate resources in order to reduce the cost of management. Mm-hmm. So the capability to distribute at best data, compute resources, operation management, and optimize the cost also through highly optimized hardware stacks. And most of the times, these hardware stacks are fully custom made for the hyperscalers, means the efficiency of this model is reaching its limits. The limits cannot be overcome because the problem will be to keep up with the exponential growth of data and their distribution. So the fact that we have these big players around our table is an extremely great advantage because we can take the benefit of their knowledge, but they as well are recognizing they need to be at those tables because probably the world is changing and is changing in the direction we say. And there will be, you know, if they decide they will have to implement a model similar to Gaia-X, this will be definitely a sign we have done the right thing. If that happens, we will be at the same level of competitiveness because they will have some way somehow to build something new compared to what they've built in the last two decades. And we as, and I mean, non-hyperscalers or non-large players will have the chance to compete through federated infrastructure. So building up quickly something big, something effective, something new in a cooperative, collaborative manner instead of rebuilding from scratch something similar to the past.
Danach sprechen wir über die Roadmap von Gaia-X. Die ISBL ist gegründet, Francesco ist das neue CEO an Bord. Was sind nun die aktuellen Projekte, an denen er und sein Team arbeiten und wie sehen die nächsten Schritte und Meilensteine für Gaia-X aus?
We have several projects started. We have the core projects around the development of the federation services. So if you think about Gaia-X, it's composed of two elements. Gaia is the goddess of prosperity, and this is what we want to achieve in Europe, prosperity through a new age of digital economy. And the X is a visual letter that you can look at and think about the upper layer of the X, representing the data spaces. What data spaces are is simply the data representation of domains. So we have data spaces in the finance domain, in the insurance domain, in the public sector. So all the data below those domains are so-called data spaces. But we also have horizontal data spaces putting together different domains. We can think about the mobility domain combined with the healthcare domain, and the public sector domain can create a data space sharing to enable free circulation of European citizens through what we are discussing about the COVID passport, just to make a very simple example everybody understands. So on the upper layer of the X, we have all these data we need to understand what to do with. And now people understand the value of data because of also of this COVID pandemic, unfortunately. So, but everybody knows the value of sharing the data. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this call today. We wouldn't be working from home. We wouldn't be sending our children to school and on and on and on. On the lower part of the X, there is the infrastructure. So all the plumbery through which this data can flow. So what's in between the X? We have these federation services. So this glue that puts together the data and the infrastructure of data. And these federation services are four key categories. One is identity and trust. The second is sovereignty, which means access control and self-determination of who can use in what way our data. The third is about catalogs. So we need to create catalogs of services so that they can be found, that they can be reached and used. And the fourth one is compliance. So we need to build compliance to these Gaia-X principles, and we need to ensure that every service, every Gaia-X service is compliant by definition. So the projects we are working on are in the implementation of these four federation services. We have a large German funded project. It's funded by the BMWI, by the Ministry of Economy and Energy, which has instantiated more than 13 million to develop through a public tender these federation services. France is coming very soon with its similar project to fund again the development of these federation services. In parallel, we have a large tender of roughly 180 million that has been issued by the German government again for the development of Gaia-X data spaces. And France will come with a similar tender shortly, and all the other countries, Italy, Netherlands, Finland, Belgium, and all the other countries that you can imagine are going to issue new calls for tenders in many areas where Gaia-X will be involved. So this is one area where not Gaia-X ASBL directly, because we are not participating as an association to those tenders, but we are helping our members to create consortium and to validate their proposal in order to build Gaia-X compliant solutions. This is our role. And in parallel, we are developing this Gaia-X federation services and architecture, because Gaia-X is not just designing or developing documents about what we have been discussing today, so this federated architecture, etc., but we are also developing an open source reference implementation of the Gaia-X software. So this will be made available as open source, will be made available to everybody, and will also contain all the mechanisms for self-compliance, for guaranteeing that the services do not rely on an external certification authority that has put a stamp or a label on the service, but the mechanism will provide for a technological automation also of the compliance of the service, which makes the federation even stronger. So the more members of the federation, the more secure will be the compliance mechanisms, because it will be based on a distributed control and consensus of these services. This is what we are building and we are developing with our team. The most important thing to say is that this project is being developed by the members of Gaia-X. So we have a lineup of stellar companies from across Europe, and the best talents we can reach. And we are now in the phase of refining the structure of the work packages, if you want, of the lower granularity projects, in order to make them map to the roadmap of development of Gaia-X, which is the composition of all the foundational elements of the architecture. And once we have done that, we will start all these new projects that will develop the single components, and we will see an incremental evolution. And what I'm looking forward and I'm working hard is build tangible results, visible results that we want to make available as soon as possible throughout our community and our events, and we will make it visible in the next months. So by the end of the year, we will have the first implementation of these federation services. It will not be complete, it will not be all of them, but it will be tangible and visible. And over the next year, we will develop further the federation services, but we will see also the growth of catalogs of services. And what I'm expecting from year three, I'm expecting an explosion of marketplaces of Gaia-X services, because you can imagine that if just 20-30% of our members will develop five Gaia-X compliant services, let's make an example. We are 250 just now. We will be possibly 500 in 2 years' time. That will become a real substantial, visible economy of data. At that point, if Gaia-X has become what we all hope, it will be at scale and we'll be able to grow autonomously because basically it will be fed and grown by its own member, developing services and populating catalogs and populating marketplaces that will be used by European companies. And at that point on, I think we will have achieved the result.
Im europäischen Cloud-Markt gibt es zwei Hauptakteure, die europäischen Cloud-Service-Provider und natürlich die europäischen Cloud-Nutzer. Ich frage Francesco, wie er die Rolle beider Gruppen bei der Weiterentwicklung von Gaia-X sieht und worin seiner Meinung nach die größten Vorteile von Gaia-X bestehen.
Well, the providers and the users get together around the same table in Gaia-X. This is the first value I see. The future of providers cannot be without considering the needs of the users. The provider will be able to create technology that is more reliable, more transparent. So the users of that technology, of Gaia-X technology, will be able to see where their data resides, to see who accessed those data. They will be able to decide also what services they need from different Gaia-X service provider. And the basic value will be the trust. So nowadays, every choice, every decision to adopt the cloud encounters some problems. Let me list a few of them. The first problem is that you know you very probably will have a lock-in effect, or anyway, you will be in trouble when you want to migrate or move your data to another platform. The second problem is that once you have migrated to the cloud, you will have to make a choice to what to put on the cloud and what to keep on on maybe your existing infrastructure. And typically the ratio now is 20 to 80. In the best case, it can be 40 to 60, but 60% of your existing legacy will stay where it is. So you have made an investment, but you don't know how to federate what you already have and you have to maintain in your infrastructure with what you have moved maybe to a public cloud. And the third problem, which is not trivial, is that the cloud providers today, and I mean the big players, they sell a service, which is basically a product. They don't sell the professional services to implement the migration to the cloud or to manage that cloud. So the combination of professional services and cloud provider is becoming more and more a problem because the two don't live together. So the providers of Gaia-X services will have the opportunity to provide new and better services, for example, creating federations of players. So the small ones can federate with other small ones and become bigger ones, but also the big one can federate with smaller ones to build larger offering portfolio. Also, they will have opportunity to combine together support services, professional services, and cloud resources, because this is in the nature, for example, of European players. Most of the time, European players, they can provide both professional services and cloud resources. Last but not least, any adopter of a Gaia-X service will be guaranteed that that Gaia-X service, that Gaia-X cloud is compliant to the very same rules. So they will have one contract template, if you want. They will be guaranteed of the SLAs, they will be guaranteed of the requirements, they will be guaranteed on the security, on the sovereignty, again, on the level of flexibility in terms of migration, reversibility, and interoperability. So any provider that will adhere to the Gaia-X model will have the chance to become competitive with the rest of the cloud market as we know it today. The benefit of the users, of course, is the highest because the users will have the opportunity to adopt cloud without the risk to becoming locked in. They will have the opportunity to adopt cloud, knowing exactly who is managing their data or who is providing their services and decided to change their mind whenever they want. And most importantly, the users will have the chance to freely share their data, maybe at the beginning within their holding, maybe across companies of their same holding or across similar companies. Typically, this is a closed ecosystem where different players of the same supply chain decide to share data in order to achieve an advantage, get a benefit altogether, because none of the single actors knows all the data of the others. And also to create in time open ecosystems, so where the users will be able to make available their data to the outside to create a real data economy, to make money on making their data available. So there is different way to implement data economy. One is to share the data to reduce the cost, and the other is to share and sell the data to enable new revenues and increase margin. But to do that, you need to have a secure and trusted infrastructure. This is what Gaia-X is building, putting together providers and user in the common intent and giving them the guarantees that they will have what they need to start developing a data economy. So far, we are still stuck at the trust side. So we still need someone to trust in order to enable to open the door and let the data flow freely throughout the companies.
Und zum Abschluss gibt's dann wieder einen obligatorischen Blick in die Kristallkugel. Ich bitte Francesco um eine Prognose zur zukünftigen Rolle von Gaia-X für den europäischen, aber auch den internationalen Cloud-Markt.
Okay, I think I anticipated this, but my 5 years outlook is pretty simple. I see year one, which is 2021.
Okay.
The year where we start developing the Gaia-X Federation services. So we start making it visible. Year two will be the year where we start developing marketplaces, and the first marketplaces will be maybe vertical, so specific to one data space or in a specific domain. But then in year three, we will start to see the member companies developing their own Gaia-X services and developing new marketplaces, and the marketplaces will become vertical and horizontal. So from year three, I am expecting the start of a data economy around Gaia-X services. And from year four to year five, I'm expecting Gaia-X at scale. So if this strategy is the right one, and there is always a chance that it's not the right one, but if we are right, if we are looking in the right direction, if we are doing the right thing, typically, in the digital world, the project do not follow a linear growth, but they follow an exponential growth from a certain point on. This is not the break even. This is an explosion, a disruption point where everybody realize that that mobile application, that web portal, that platform, or that new cloud layer that is called Gaia-X is exactly what everybody needs. At that point, the growth will be exponential. Mm-hmm. And if this happens, we will have a real new market of the cloud. We will have a real burst of the data economy in Europe. And we will also see the European player having a role at scale in the worldwide data economy, like the few ones that now owns the data economy. 75% is in the US, 20 is in Asia, and 5% only of the data platform economy is in Europe. So what I'm expecting is from year 4 to 5, we should reach at least 20% of this market from the 5% we have today. I think this would be a great result and a non-reversible one, which is the most important thing.
Good luck for your 5-year plan and beyond. And thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you for having me today.
An dieser Stelle herzlichen Dank für Ihr Interesse. Die Shownotes zu dieser Folge finden Sie im Cloud Computing Report Podcast unter www.cloud-computing-report.de/podcast-folge-113. Falls Sie regelmäßig an aktuellen News zum Thema Cloud Computing in Deutschland interessiert sind, Abonnieren Sie uns am besten auf Spotify, Apple Podcast oder Google Podcast oder in der Podcast-App Ihres Vertrauens. Und wenn Ihnen gefällt, was Sie da hören, freuen wir uns natürlich immer über ein entsprechendes Like. So viel für heute. Vielen Dank für Ihr Interesse und bis zum nächsten Mal. Ihr Werner Grohmann.